This young man, Jake Fraser McGurk, is going to debut for the Victorian Sheffield Shield team tomorrow at the MCG against Queensland at just 17 years of age, which I think is unbelievable. And it just makes us tune into this game even more than perhaps we would otherwise have done. And he's in the studio this morning. That's great to see him. How are you, Jakey?
I'm well, thanks. Yourself?
Oh, we're good. We're excited for you.
We are excited.
How you're going? You got a few nerves. You got the full kit on. You got the Victorian cap. You look magnificent.
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous, but yeah, these past few days have been pretty frantic. But yeah, very excited.
When did they tell you, Jake, that you were going to be playing for Victoria?
Well, it came out yesterday, but I got told on the call after the second 11 game that Andrew Lynch gave me, and he said that I'll be debuting, and it was pretty hard to keep my emotions in.
Were you surprised at the time or not?
Yeah, I was very shocked. My recent Premier cricket form hasn't been that great, but in the second X side, it's been pretty good. So I knew that a few boys were going up to play the Australia A series against Pakistan, and so I didn't think I was going to get a game, but you know, obviously that can change.
So this second 11 form, tell us about that. You made 130 against Queensland, I think, and a 78 against South Australia.
Yeah, so we went to Queensland, and in the first innings I didn't get that many runs, but in the second innings I got 130, and I was pretty happy with that. We didn't get away with the win because Bryce Straight made 345 and kind of took that out of our hands. But in the second game against South Australia, again, no runs in the first innings, but in the second innings I'm happy to get an 80-odd, so... Yeah.
So 17 years of age, we were just talking prior to coming on air, you were at Carey Grammar for a while. Yeah. You made your debut in the first 11 there when you were in year 7.
Yeah.
That's just unbelievable, isn't it? That doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, I'm not sure it does happen too often. There probably would have been a few. I know Liam Blackford might have played in year 8, I'm pretty sure, but that was for Geelong Grammar. But other than that, I can't think of any.
So were you always playing outside of your age group? Like, were you always playing, year 7 at that competition, playing against year 12 kids would be an enormous challenge.
Yeah, it was pretty daunting, that's for sure. They're all a lot more developed than I was back then. Ever since I was probably about 10 or 11, I was playing senior cricket with Burundara. And, I think playing senior cricket early really helps your development as a player.
At what age did you start playing cricket?
I think I played in the Milo, 2020 Blast, as I call it nowadays, probably about six or seven. And then actually playing games of cricket when I was about 7 or 8. So, yeah.
And cricket, you played footy as well, but cricket was always your first love?
Yeah, well, it was cricket and footy, obviously summer, winter, just keep going. And it changed between, with birthday and Christmas. With Christmas, I'd get cricket stuff. With birthday, I'd get footy stuff. I think cricket was always probably going to be the one.
And always had the ambition, obviously, of playing at a higher level. Like, now you're going to... You're going to debut for Victoria. Always thinking as a kid, I'm going to play for Australia. I want to play for Australia in the Test arena one day.
Yeah, obviously that's the pinnacle. Playing Test cricket is something that you really want to do as a cricketer and as a young kid. Everyone looks up to it. It's obviously in the back of my mind. But I like taking things one step at a time. Don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
He's an all-rounder, Gary. He's not just a batsman.
Well, you've done your research.
Well, no, he told me. I said, what do you do? He said, I bowl very, very... How did you describe your leggies?
Handy legs.
Handy leggies.
I wouldn't claim it's very good, but it needs a bit of work.
So there's a bit of Steve Smith about that, who, of course, was first picked for our national team as a leg spinner.
Yeah, I did hear about that. Hopefully I can be... A little bit better as a leg spinner than that, but
And when you watch, I know you idolise Steve Smith like a lot of young cricketers do around the country. When you watch him bat, and he's a little bit unorthodox about the way he goes about that, is that when you were coming through and being taught the technicalities of the game, what is it that was the concentration on those coaches towards your batting?
I'd say some of the coaches that I had knew that I like to hit the ball quite hard and quite a bit harder than a lot of other kids. So they just said, do whatever you feel comfortable. And usually that, hopefully that worked, actually. But, usually that worked back then. Nowadays, I just try and see the ball, hit the ball. I don't really try and get too much into the technicalities because when I start overthinking things, I kind of, get out of my bubble.
Tim was a decorated cricketer at Dimboola in the under-10s, and I loved cricket as well. I played a lot of cricket through my junior years. And the thing that was always, I don't know about Tim, but for me, most challenging, going from footy to cricket, picking up the bat was the fast bowler. You're always very, very, this is for me anyway, very conscious of the opposition team's quick.
Yeah.
For you, playing, as you've said earlier, year seven cricket in the year 12 comp, 17-year-old cricket, have you got any fear about facing these fast bowlers?
It's a bit weird. I actually don't. I'd prefer the faster bowlers because you got less time to think about it. And usually when I'm not thinking about too much is probably when I play my best cricket. But, I think the fastest bowler, I played in a Pakistan game the other week, and Muhammad Amir, he was pretty sharp. And I opened the batting and he had the new ball. It was very scary. But
you opened the batting that?
Yeah, I opened the batting right. with Ryan Gibson. And, it was...
And what about James Pattinson in the nets? He wouldn't be much fun to face, I wouldn't reckon.
No, I faced him twice. The first time I faced him, I think he was holding back a little bit. But I think yesterday he was bowling a lot sharper.
And do they say, oh, he's the new kid on the block, let's just test him out a little bit? Do you feel a little bit of that or not?
I have copped a few short ones and a few bouncer barrages in pre-season, that's for sure. But... But no, I think I'm growing on them. Hopefully I can stay on their good side.
We've got a caller rung through here, Jakey. I'm pretty sure you'll recognise the voice. His name's Michael Bingley, who may have played a bit of a role in your cricket. G'day, Michael.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Well, we're going well. We're Jakey. Excited.
You're excited. Jakey, it is just the most unbelievable great news for our cricket club. You're the first junior to play for Victoria. And we've been speaking about it for a while. You had the ability all the way back when you first played that senior game. I'm sure you remember it.
Now, Michael, I've just got to establish your bona fides. I should have done that at the start. You're the president of the Boroondara Cricket Club where Jake played his first game. Now, how old were you, Jake, when you played
right.
there?
I think the first game for the senior team was probably when I was 10.
10?
No.
10 or 11?
He's 11.
11.
10 or 11. 10 or 11.
11.
11 for the... And what was the reasons there, Michael? You just couldn't hold him back anymore.
Well, actually, what happened was we were short. And someone said, we've got this kid in the under-12s and he's a gun. I said, yeah, he can't be that good to play seniors. And they said, yeah, he's captain for the Victorian under-12 schoolboys team. I said, okay, I'll find out, because the rule for the ECA is you've got to be 12 years and older to play. So I rang the president of the association and said, we've got a kid that's that good that he can play seniors. We want to play him. And they said, well, you're going to have to get the parents to sign a letter so that there's no legal liability against the association. So Les was good enough to do that, and we played Jake in that first game against Wycliffe at Highfield Park, top oval. Les was there with his camera, and Jake did 5 overs, 2 for 7.
Oh, you came in for the bowling.
Yeah, I used to bowl medium pace back in the day.
And what about some runs? Did you get any runs? Did you get a bat?
No, I nicked off, I think, what did I get? Like, I think 2 or something like that.
Made it dark.
So it wasn't that good. But
hey, Michael, when you first clasped eyes on him, what did you think?
Oh, just a good little kid who just had heaps of ability. But I could tell you, like, that year we actually won the premiership and Jakey had a really important role, especially in the finals in both games, batted really solidly and, made 20s or 30s. And then the following year, he was a premiership player at the age of 11 in our thirds, then the following year he played another year as in the thirds, but he also then was going up the grades. In fact, he got to play in the seconds again in Birchfield, which was, like you're playing decent, really good, cricketers. And in the grand final, we ended up losing 3 for none in the last over, and Jake was caught at the other end. He was 46 not out, and there was this bowler who was like a genuine quick, and Jake just took it all. And 46 not out, and we'd lost by 9 runs in the grand final. But Michael, we just knew it was special.
You'd be very, very proud of him, Michael, president of the Boroondara Cricket Club, and I reckon you'll be at the MCG tomorrow. Thanks for calling in and giving us those memories.
Thank you.
Michael Bingley. I wish you could listen to the old dog here, Wispy Watson, just passing on his advice to young Jake, talking about cars and what sort of car you're going to get. And Jake wants it. Tim says, don't spend that much on your first car. Hey, Jake, this is invaluable, this advice you're getting from this great man over here.
Yeah, and he's got a good mind on him.
Now, Gary loves to give everybody a nickname. Okay, so he's gone with Pickle for you because McGurkin. Yeah,
I get that a lot.
You got it. Yeah. Obvious.
Gherkin, they usually say.
Gherkin. I go after Pickle. I like to call you the Pickle.
Which would you prefer, the Gherkin or the Pickle?
I'd say Gherkin because it's actually got my last name in it. But okay. the boys actually call me Rooster.
Hello.
Because when I went, I'll tell you the story. When I went on my first pre-season camp with Richmond, I think I was about 14.
Right.
We did a camp, and we were camping obviously in tents, and it took us. Well, my mate Zach Sleeman and I had to put up a tent, and it took us about 3 hours, and it was a really hard tent to build. But, yeah, so in the morning, it was about 4:30 a.m., the Roosters were going like McGurk, and like, you know how they make their sound?
Yep. Tim does these sounds.
yeah, like that. So,
that one, yeah.
So they were like, oh, sounds a bit like your last name, so I've got that ever since.
That story.
Not the cock-a-doodle-doo. your head's not in the game.
I thought the story might have been heading in another direction.
Tell me about sledging. Like, if you walked out into these games as a young man playing against a young lad playing against men, do they try and get inside your head?
It's a funny one. Not really, because I think that I'm just going to, like, get out within, like, you know, a couple of minutes because I'm pretty young. But, usually most of the sledging happens in, like, the under-17 and under-19 carnivals and stuff. But, it's very limited and not many blokes do it. I'd say I've been on the other side of a couple. I think I've been giving a few people some chirp. But,
We get messages, Jake, as we go. We get some great sort of information that comes our way. And this is from a man who says, Jake undersells his leg spin. He reckons that your leg spin is underrated. He's actually very good. And then he goes on to say, hopefully he can be as good as me. And that's from Jim Higgs.
Jim Higgs, from Richmond.
Yeah.
Yeah, from a district club.
Have you worked with Jim or not?
I have a little bit.
Yep.
He's actually left the club for this year. But, he used to play Test cricket.
Great Australian.
That's right.
Great Australian. And great Kyabram man. And I hope you don't bat like him.
I've just worked out your connection as to why you chose number 23 as well now.
Yeah, a bit of leg spin.
Have you ever spoken to Warnie?
I actually have met him. I went to Adelaide Oval for the under-19 championships and we got a little day out in the media boxes and stuff. Yeah, and I met him. I didn't have a chat to him because all the boys were there, but I got a photo with him and all that stuff, and he's a great bloke.
If you could sit down with him and talk about bowling, what sort of questions would you like to ask him?
How to land the ball on the pitch, that would be... I'm a known full toss. I bowl a lot of full tosses, but I'm working on it, but I'd probably just ask him how he gets such good control and, like, how talented he is. He's magnificent.
Because I think it was last week he talked about the fact that what's really tough on young spinners is actually playing T20 cricket because it inhibits your ability to be able to expand on your craft.
He says that he was taught as a leg spinner to bowl the same ball after ball after ball. Mm. In T20, they're taught to bowl
the variation.
A different ball, every ball.
Yeah, there's a lot of variations in 2020 cricket, and especially when you're facing it. I've got a mate, Tom O'Connell, who he's got all the tricks and he's a very good leg spinner and he plays for the Melbourne Stars. And, so I'm doing a bit of work with him. I'm trying to learn off him and pick his brains.
It's a real craft, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very challenging. I'd probably say it's the hardest thing in cricket, to be fair.
Hey, how do you get time off school? We've got a minute or so to go. If most young lads had the choice of playing cricket at the MCG or going to school with, we know where they'd go, but how does that work?
Cedar's really flexible with my commitments at Cricket Victoria. I still get the work done, obviously, but they give me a lot of time off to do it. And the work's not overly hard, it's just long. So I get a lot of help
And your mum's out here, Charlotte, your dad, your family, I'm sure that they'd be so proud, but you would owe them a lot because you haven't got your licence yet.
Yeah, of course. All the driving that they've done for me, dad and mum, they've been there all the way and I'm really appreciative of what they've done for me. Yeah, I can't thank them enough, to be fair.
Well, they'll be there tomorrow at the MCG. Mum, I think Mum's crying out there at the moment. She's very, very, very emotional. Yeah. Now, well, that might be because you drove in and she might be still a bit frightened.
Yeah. Hey, Gherkin, we love a celebration as well after you maybe...
Make a ton.
Raise the bat. Have you got something in mind or not?
Probably wouldn't think that far ahead, but no, I'm very... very low key when it comes to celebrations. I don't want to draw too much attention to myself. But
Pickle,
young man.
Nice answer, Pickle. You're going with Gherkin, are you?
Well, you prefer Gherkin, don't you?
I'll give me anything.
I'm going with the Rooster. we're genuinely excited. We really are because Sheffield Shield cricket needs a shot in the arm, and you'll provide it, and will be a lot of interest. All of our audience will be watching with great interest. So good luck. Hope it goes well, and hopefully we can talk again soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
I reckon that was the case when we were looking for basketball prodigies in this country as well. They turned around, and if we could turn the clock back to a 15-year-old Andrew Gaze when he was first picked for the Victorian State Championship team, I think he would have been similarly self-effacing and humble if he was good enough to join us in the studio. He's now a 7-time NBL MVP. He's won an NBA championship, and I'm not sure we're going to get the same modesty, but he's here, and he joins us. Gaze, great joy to have you on the program.
Good morning, Gaz. It's amazing, even through the telephone and the wireless, you just know when a man's got his tongue firmly placed.
No, I have not.
I sort of puffed my chest out, and there was like a big press hitting a balloon and just deflated quickly.
Not at all.
Hey, take us back to that 15-year-old kid that debuted for the Victorian State team. What did he look like? What did he sound like? What was his attitude to the game?
What did he dress like?
Oh. Well, in all of those, you would probably say ahead of his time. Just had a fashion that, wasn't necessarily all that coordinated. But when you look at the way the young folk run around these days, it was probably well in tune with that. So I like to say fine, but no, it was... fantastic time, and to be on the court with guys like Cal Bruton, James Crawford, Bruce Palmer, Al Westover, Brian Gorge, and some of the legends of the game, that they provided an enormous education for me. So it was a fantastic experience.
Hey, Gazy, how old were you when you wore something that wasn't a tracksuit for the first time? something that wasn't made out of parachute material.
Very underrated fabric, I might add. It was outstanding in the 80s, the old 84 Olympics. Geez, I wish I could get that gear out. That was some quality stuff. But
you played for Australia, did you?
Just happened
to drop that into the conversation.
No, I'm just more in tune with what we're talking about with the fashions. But I was never what you would call all that excited or concerned about the presentation, as you would attest to, Tim. And Gaz, I'm sure you've seen me running around on occasion. And it never really stuck with me, much to the disgust of my wife. Who just really, really gives it to me in regards to my fashion.
We're talking about young talent. I'm not sure whether you heard the interview we just did with this young man who's about to play for Victoria as a 17-year-old. And, I mean, for you, we'll be very serious now, because whilst we have a lot of fun, we respect you as the super, super, superstar that you are. Did you, when you were playing basketball at a young age, did they try and test you out physically? Like, did they come after you a bit, the old veterans?
Absolutely, they did. Particularly when you're really young and you're 15 and you're just getting it in junk time, highly respectful. So that is the last 3 or 4 minutes I was a 30-point player when I was 15, and that is I only got on the court.
Oh, you haven't paid your phone bill either. Can you just move around? We're just losing you, and this was, I'm sure, was going to be a great story, but we lost it. He's in some dungeon. He's probably down and coaching somewhere in a basketball stadium somewhere. We might have to try and get him back on. People on SEN, he's very familiar to everyone, SEN listeners, but to a broader audience, this is absolute sporting royalty.
Unbelievable. Like,
we don't talk about him from a serious point of view enough.
No, because we have a lot of fun with him.
Yeah.
But from a serious basketball perspective, he was the trailblazer for this country as well. And what he achieved, not just here but overseas, was remarkable.
And got it done at Olympics. Like every time your team would go to the Olympics, you could always rely on Andrew Gaze to hold his own. I mean, our teams in the day were always competitive, but not to the point now where they're contending for genuine medals. But Gaze was always the flag bearer. And he's rejoined us, I think. You're back with us, Gaze?
Gotcha. Yeah, I had you loud and clear. Just don't know what happened there. Jim knows the type of phones I roll with, so I know he's going to go to my Asian connections, but he's going to blame that. But when you're coming in those junk time minutes, your opponents were really respectful. It's not until you actually started to do something then they really started to give it to you. And it wasn't just the opposition. Even when you're a youngster and you're coming into that practice environment, some of the old fellas, they loved you dearly. They didn't. Again, a great
You may laugh about your phone, no. Gazy. Tell us what happens, because we can't hear him. And I know you can hear us, Gazy, but for some reason we can't hear you.
Well, he ducks over to China regularly,
right?
And he just picks up the cheap stuff. Like, he doesn't like to buy anything and pay full freight for it. So he's probably got some Apple phone kit thing that he's picked up over there that's Apple misspelt, and he's paid probably about $3.50 for the phone or something like that.
Well, he's notorious. Well, he's back again. We're going to try one more time here, otherwise we're going to have to send you to a landline. You there?
You there? You got me? Yes. I know. You got me, Tim?
Yes, loud and clear.
All right. No, well, I don't even know. I've said this answer three times. I'm quite a bit bored of listening to me answer, all right?
So can you ask a different question? I want to ask you about the NBL this season. Has been exploding again. Some people refer to it as going back to the halcyon days of the NBL. Is that how you're reading it as well?
I actually think it's gone a few steps beyond the halcyon days. You go back to those 90s and we're playing at the tennis center and 15,000, great things happening. We're seeing that right across the country. Everywhere you go, every city that we have a team in, the attendances are enormous. And the standard of competition, we've got 9 teams in the league, and any given day, anyone can beat anyone. And that's the objective of most sporting competitions in the world, is to get that parity, that uncertainty of outcome. And we have that in spades. And with the new kids that are coming through the ranks, you know, LaMelo Ball, RJ Hampton are the ones that have got the most profile. But I don't know if you saw the Sydney game yesterday. This D.D. Lizada, he was a second-round pick. He's only 20 years of age. He is going to be a superstar. So we get to see firsthand, up close and personal, some guys that we're going to be watching on our televisions in NBA uniforms in a very short period of time.
Hey, Gazy, how is it that the Phoenix can get a team together like that and be as good as what they are and as competitive as what they have been already in their first season?
Well, I think that it comes down to two things. Is just the depth of talent, because we only have 9 teams. And the concentration of talent in those 9 teams, I think the league could actually cater for another 4 or 5 teams,
really?
Such as the depth of talent that we have. You only have to look at the kids that are playing college basketball right now. We've got over 200 kids playing at the collegiate level. Now, clearly not all of those are up to NBL quality, but at the pointy end of those 200, you've got some outstanding talent. And of course, it comes down to money. When you can get the players that they're able to recruit and get them all on the same page, and put the training facilities and the resources behind the team, then you can be competitive. So we're very lucky in this country, and hopefully the league continues to expand, because there are a lot of kids that, not just kids, a lot of players that have the capacity to play at this level.
Hampton and Ball, okay, they bypass college. They go straight from high school into the NBL. What do you think is going to happen as a result of this? Are we going to see more kids in America do this, do you think? Or are we overplaying this right now?
Absolutely. No, you're not. And I think the reason for it is that there's many places in the world that players can go and play. But I think here in Australia, the style of play, the similarities in culture, the similarities in coaching, all those things, we are extremely highly regarded. And this is on the back of what we've seen over the last few years with Terence Ferguson came out a couple of years ago. He's now a starter with OKC. And he was probably one of the first of those really young guys to come out. Last year, we had Brian Bowen on our team that's now with the Indiana Pacers, with the Sydney team, I should say, that he's now with the Indiana Pacers. And if these two guys continue the path that they're on, we are talking about a guy, LaMelo Ball, that is not just fancifully, is realistically spoken about as the number one pick in the NBA draft next season. Now, I find that, you know, I think he's going to be a top pick. Whether he's going to actually be the number one pick, that remains to be seen. But if he does well and the challenges that the NCAA put on their players, I think that they need to have a good hard look at their rules or else there's, I think that with the success of these guys, there's going to be a mass exodus of players that choose international route rather than going through the collegiate route.
That'd be great for the NBL, of course. Gazy, Tim and I went and watched a game late last year. We sat courtside to watch the Kings take on United.
I saw you there.
What we were most impressed with was your cool demeanour. And how you just kept it all under control, and then
that's
we see your successor Will Weaver come in and he just lost his nut. Win Burko, what was that all about?
He did. It's one of those things. I think everyone has their tipping point, and he reached his.
Oh,
and a lot of the times you see it in NBA games, and Popovich is one that every now and again. It was almost like a strategic move that you're communicating, no one's listening to you, so you've got to be on it to be heard. And I don't think it's something you can often, but I think it just reached his tipping point. I don't think there was anything that you look long term to say there's an issue there. It's just one of those emotional outbursts that you have that unfortunately got him tossed out of the game.
Hey, Gazy, will you come back and coach at some stage? Because Gary and I both thought you were more entertaining on the sidelines than anything else we saw that night. We kept saying to each other, have a look at him now. Have a look at him now. He's not even concentrating on the game.
No, well, hopefully it was just the looks can be deceiving. I think you are what you are. You express yourself in different ways. And for me, I never felt like it impaired my judgment. Others would disagree. But for me, it was just, the way in which your body language reacts is something that I think I had to work on, really, because it can lead to perception from the audience, which is not so much of an issue. But when the players start to think, well, maybe he's a bit Coco Loco, he just lost it a bit. But I don't think they ever got to that stage, but it is something that can have an impact.
Well, we think their future probably lies in preparing basketballers for AFL football because Fisher McKenzie or McKenzie.
Oh, yes.
Now, an AFL draft prospect of the highest order. He was with the Tigers for 4 years underneath you. You spoke about how much passion you showed and what an inspiration you were.
Yeah, well, God love him. No, he's an absolute beauty. Coached him in the under-12s and under-14s. And, in fact, he played against the top two kids. I can't remember the name. The top two kids that are allegedly going to be number one and two in the draft this year.
Anderson
well,
Rao,
Fisher
yep.
played. Yes, they played for Hawthorn and were super dominant. They were a great team throughout the under-12s and 14s. And Fisher played against those guys. Fisher, just a tremendous athlete, but really high IQ. And I went and watched him play footy a couple of times. He played for Caulfield Grammar. I saw him on the telly, and I tell you what, I'm not sure where he's predicted to go, but if you're judging IQ and intensity and just you tell a man, you give someone an instruction and their ability to execute, he is right up there. So hopefully, where's he predicted to go?
I've got the 10 at the moment. So it says here the foot stress fracture. Sorry, missed Sandringham's finals and combine, but he's already done enough to prove he's standing as one of the leading key position players in the tour in the pool. So possible top 10, and after that wrap, I wouldn't be surprised if he surpasses
top five.
I'm thinking one.
Well, No, it's a steal. Well, I tell you, it would be an absolute steal at 10. Someone sees him because he is going to be a 300-game AFL star.
Don't put pressure on him,
mate. Hey, Gary, you've got to listen to him because this bloke, and I won't mention the bloke he was talking about at the time.
No,
I won't mention, but you saw somebody play basketball and then you said to me, I'm not sure about that bloke, and it has proven to be correct.
Really?
So when you rap somebody,
I'm
listening to you.
Don't worry, the recruiters have all started their pen out and started to move him up the ranks.
Well, it is a scary thing when you go to the under-18 national basketball championships and you see more AFL representatives in the audience than you do NBL people. You know that they are on to something. And the other one that I think is going to turn out to be an absolute superstar, a bit of a later start, is Tommy Wilson, that Collingwood signed. He was with the Kings last year. Was a superstar as a junior, but he's going to be an absolute beauty as well. I put him in the Scott Pendlebridge category because of his way he moves and the IQ. So no pressure on my voice, but that's what they're going to do.
I love the way you undersell this talent. That's what I'm most impressed. 300 gamer and Scott Pendlebridge.
Hey, guys, before we let you go, too, we've been reading about this Heat basketball player, Dion Waiters, who apparently ingested THC edible. Now, you've been over there in the NBA. We don't know what this is. Can you explain to us what it is?
No, I can't, Tim. There's a lot of things that go on in that league. You remember telling the stories about some of the stuff that they dish up at practice. You just got to put your faith in the organisation, which sometimes can be a little bit challenging. We've seen in some sports, but apparently he got a bit crook and had a bit of a meltdown on the plane.
Yeah, he did. He did,
and inadvertently ingested it too, not on purpose, apparently.
Is that right? I wasn't aware. I was not aware of that. It was inadvertent. I thought it was one of those things that they might have been dishing up that had the unfortunate reaction.
Side effect. Hey, mate, we always enjoy talking to you, and you're doing a great job on the NBL with your commentary too. So keep up the fine work, and maybe the next time you're over there in China, just see if you can't pay a little bit more than the $3.50 and buy yourself a half-decent phone.
Mate, I'm telling you, it's a quality unit, does all the bells and whistles, and honestly, a third of the cost. It's incredible.
Thanks for joining
us. Incredible.
And you guys, a superstar, icon of Australian sport.